When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When I say hey, you say fam, hey.
Fam.
Hey.
Fam.
When I say pray. You say,
damn.
Hey, fam. Welcome to Hey, Fam. You're with Levins and Angus. And every week we get some guests on and we talk about the things we read, watch, play, and consume.
Yeah. It's a consumption pod, right?
Yeah, that's right. And this week we have two of our very good friends.
It's the first couple we've had on this show.
It's the first couple show.
It's a milestone.
It's the first couple. This is some Obama and...
So if you're like, I like to listen to Hey, Fam for a trio at most... I'm sorry. It's a quartet.
Yeah. We came into some cash. We kind of say how, but you know, we got another microphone. We thought, well, you know, let's blow it and invite people on and just make the most out of it.
Yeah. I mean, if you spend the money, you have to use the equipment or else it's like that classic story of the roller skates you bought when you were 10 years old and they were too good. And then you put them in, I'm not sure what movie this is from, but in the long story, I think he gets killed at the end.
Yeah, and you never got to skate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, our special guests today are Raj and Eb, aka Visakama Ratsafong and Eb Yusuf.
Hey, fam.
Welcome to the Hey, Fam studio. I hope we've settled you in nicely. We've had to get an extension for the extra body, but, you know.
Well, you know, no, it's very
like
comfortable.
Like I said, we came into some cash.
Yeah, it was good of you to buy it, to spend that extra cash on an extra couch.
Yeah, I thought so.
Because we're all sitting on our own couch.
It was BYO couch sitch for the first eight, but episode 9.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, hey, you want to be on our podcast? Bring a couch. That's why we have so many couches.
Surprisingly, everyone was so willing to do that. I'm going to turn off Entourage. It's so distracting.
It is?
I was enjoying that.
Oh, you were enjoying it?
Raj spent like 10 minutes picking his favorite Entourage episode.
All right, we'll put it on.
No.
Hey, well, it's back on.
I don't know.
How about this though? Entourage onto Raj.
There we go. So let's explain
first.
Yeah. This is our first oh yeah for the evening. Who are Raj and Eb Levins for a person who isn't you or I or Greater Sydney?
I would describe Raj as a buff.
I would say more 10% of the stuff that exists on browncardigan.com is you know who Raj is.
Don't people email you asking like submitting things to Brown Cardigan even though you have nothing to do with it?
Yeah, it happens a lot. What is a buff?
Or they
a
buff, write well, to
you're a film buff. You're
a pop culture buff.
I thought you were saying I'm buff.
Or
you
are just buff.
You're a buff buff.
Brown Cardigan and write, "Hi Raj, could you please blah blah blah?
Yeah. Could you please take this photo of my butt down?"
So when things go fat Jewish for Brown Cardigan, you can be like, "No man," or no. Maybe that you'll be the fall guy. I don't know.
No, I can't be the fall guy. It's got to be someone else.
Yeah, well, it ain't me.
It could be.
I know.
Realigned.
I've got a lot of DNA in that baby, but
no one is more happy to share their opinion on movies and books and pop culture in general than my friend Raj.
Even an avatar.
So I thought it would be a good person to come in, as well as being as much of a buff as Raj is, Eb actually works in the picture business.
In the biz.
They call
it's
it.
It's our first link to Hollywood, I think we've had officially, despite our ill-fated segment, "That's Hollywood, baby." Like, this is actually more Hollywood than any of the segments we may have led to believe. But this is good. This is great.
Eb, so a lot of the episode of today, we got Raj and Eb on because they see pretty much every movie in gold class. That's correct. Like the rule.
We've actually migrated to Hoyt's Locks. So
oh, really?
Hoyt's Locks plug over here.
Well, what are you doing? Sorry, we just got interrupted by Vinny Chase himself.
Vinny Chase was just eating breakfast that his stepbrother, Johnny Drummer, cooked. We're resuming the Entourage episode, which we normally play.
I reckon let's turn off this Entourage episode and then guess where they're at the end of the episode.
That's great. That's great. The best thing about that is on HBO, it just keeps auto-playing, so they could be anywhere again.
Hey fam, as usual, is brought to you by HBO Go.
And Hoyt's Lux.
Tell us about the differences between Hoyt's Lux and Gold Class.
Or you can eat popcorn.
What?
Yeah, correct.
And how much is that?
And it's cheaper than Gold Class.
Oh, no, I mean, how much is all you can eat popcorn? How much popcorn can you eat?
I guess that's Raj up to...
They come in these small containers, so it's not
they're
like...
They're artisan containers, I'm sure. So you have to kind of... get the big guys, and then you go in and you get the, like, oh, you know...
You got to, like, stockpile a bunch of these small containers. Right. And, but I think it's the same price as Gold Class, and...
It's a bit cheaper than Gold Class. It's a little bit cheaper. However, you get the free popcorn and soft drink.
And is that unlimited refills? Or you just get that?
I'm pretty sure
you can smash
unlimited.
Those refills.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Do you have a system where if you want... Because I find this is one thing that stops me going to Gold Class a lot or any kind of deluxe version. I don't like interruptions during my movie. Mm. And I know that there are times... I've spoke to someone who worked at a cinema once and they're like, oh, we come in at 15 minutes and then we come in at this like for the food drops and the... And I'm, what's the situation there?
That happens. I'm okay with it.
But is it like at any given time?
Yeah, it's at any given time. Yeah, and so for some reason, they don't turn the lights off when they're playing the previews. So
that's
it's, it's like lights on the whole
that's
time.
That's
big bugbear for Raj.
I'm very upset about it.
I feel you. I missed the first 10 minutes.
And they turn the lights on as soon as the credits come on. That's also quite
weird. Even in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, when you know there's going to be
correct.
A bit.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
No respect.
I've got to say...
No
really
respect for Thanos.
So, like, take note, Hoyt's Lux.
Or Sam Jackson.
Turn the lights off.
I got to say, I went to the Alamo Drafthouse in Texas, in Austin, and that's like a mega famous nerdy cinema. And they have a really crazy system there where if you're caught talking... or texting during a film, or your phone even lights up, you're asked to leave. So there are people watching you, but you're allowed to order food and drink and stuff during the movie. But it's not like popcorn or stuff, like it's full food. But what you do, before the film starts, an individual person will come up to you and be like, right, so there's no phones. It's kind of weird. It's like a church pew. You get this, like, you're sitting down on like a chair, but there's this sort of mini table in front of you, and you're given like a stack of like post-its that aren't sticky and a pen. And they're like, and there's a little torch. There's lights lining underneath the table, which you can't see until you put something under it. So you can have a look at a menu and write like one cocktail, one bar, and then you write it on a piece of paper, stick it in there. Someone will dart up without you seeing, and then it comes back within like 2 minutes. It's like crazy. And I saw Gone Girl there, and I was gone, boy, by the first like 20 minutes, because those cocktails were flowing, and it was the hottest day of the year, and I was just like, well, this is I could get used to this Gold Class. This is like Diamond Class.
And
this
nobody nobody interrupted that famous Ben Affleck D.
No one got in the way of me.
And me Benny and that D.
Me and you.
And
you
the bat deck. Yeah, and it was great. But I do think there's you know, there's a lot we can learn from food. And because when we watch a movie at home, everyone eats. You know, it's all about what you're going
to
eat.
Yeah, I think also our friend Nina Las Vegas would actually really hate that situation, because every time I go to the movies with her, she loves to talk and text.
What? Are you fucking kidding me?
How does that surprise you in the slightest?
Yeah, good point. But also, like, that is like, I am like audible, distressed guy when someone starts talking in a
me
movie.
Too.
I'm like,
yeah. I like, do the like, very... Nina- Yeah, audible.
Like death
like,
stares. I'm like, it is pitch black. Yeah. You can't see me, but I'm staring at your
soul. Where did we go?
Soul.
Oh, Mission Impossible. We had to see it in IMAX because it wasn't showing in Lux for some reason.
What? So, first world problems, new segment. Brad's problems.
Hoyt's anti-Scientology.
Yeah. Did you guys, wait, you guys saw Rogue Nation?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Is it Rogue Nation? Yeah.
You can pretend
did.
You've seen it. We can talk about it. Yeah. I saw that this weekend.
I loved it.
It was so good.
So good.
Mission Impossible movies like getting better.
I hated the last one though. The Brad Bird one.
I disliked that.
I was into it.
It was bookended by the dumbest, like, you know, pretending to look at, or like looking at his wife from afar. I hated that so much.
Oh, okay. So you know what? I haven't seen the last 10 minutes. So okay. I really liked it. Seriously. I was like, that was so good. I have still not seen the last 10 minutes.
I like the third one. I showed her.
He loves the sick. That was
he loves the J.J. Abrams one. I think it's. I like it. It's very kind of like Alias the movie.
Oh, J.J. Abrams. To the point where he's in the 7-Eleven getting the mission and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And he always has someone strapped to a chair, like always, without doubt.
And hey, pull one out for Philly Seymour Hoff. Like that guy. I know. Murdered the villain scene. He was so good.
Very good.
No, because 2 was such a stanker.
It was bad.
It was like horrible.
The sequel to Face Off.
2 made you think that Darwin was 15 minutes from Parramatta, like in a motorcycle chase, which I know if you make a movie, you're going to take a lot of like artistic licensing with how far things are. But I mean, it's Sydney-siders. That was like the first movie that had been set in Sydney that was Sydney, as opposed to like Matrix or Superman Returns, where it's like metropolis or non-distinct metropolitan city.
I saw someone say the other day that the biggest mistake the Matrix made was not calling it Escape from Ultimo.
Yes. What's the... They fight in what? Martin Place? No, which...
No, it's all Ultimo. Like all those...
No, the train station. The big... Is that...
Oh, yeah. I think it's like Martin Place.
It's Martin
station,
Place,
yeah.
I think. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. It's not even... St. James? I don't think it's anything.
No, it is. They actually shot it in a train station.
Yeah, but it wasn't... Oh, actually, it was... Yeah, it was
it's on below, the city loop.
It was below St. James. It was like an unused platform.
There you go. Yeah. And it's like the columns very are there specific. And stuff.
Yeah. I looked it up because I was like, I really need to know where that is shot. But it's like in an unused train station.
But yeah, Rogue Nation was sick. I Definite. Was so into it.
That's, Ilsa, like, that's a very
Ilsa
big
Ilsa Faust.
A buff move.
Straight
it was
rough.
What?
Ilsa Faust.
Oh, she was great.
She was amazing.
I love
she
the fact really that had like a female lead in it who wasn't like under 20 and
yeah, and there wasn't like a love story between them and
it passed the Bechamel test. Yeah. it totally passed with flying colors. She was in that movie and did not have a discussion about S and Tom's D. Like, I thought that was great.
That's my biggest thing about movies this year is like fake love stories between lead characters.
It almost got to it.
No chemistry at all. I'm so glad they didn't kiss.
Oh, totally. Because it never. It sometimes I was like, no, you're gonna wig out and you're gonna make out. You got and then nope. They were just like equals the whole and I was like, that was sick because they're both in the same biz, of course they can't love because they're damaged.
And her flying like hook with the leg around the neck
move. She liked using that move
she
a lot.
Did that like 3 or 4 times.
That was like her, Ronda Rousey like arm thing.
If she was in Mortal Kombat, that would be her fatality.
That was her people's elbow
or her babyality. It was if you had the babyality codes.
Does The Rock ever do people's elbow in Ballers?
Not yet, but speaking, should we sex to Ballers? I just watched it then as I
think Eb was going to tell us a story about what happened at the Rogue Nation screening.
Yeah, there were just some loud people behind us, and I just gave them a lot of and filthy look.
But if we're going to go back, we'll go back to Nina because Nina will like be texting and not paying attention to the movie, and then we'll start talking to you and be like, "Oh, why is that guy angry with that guy?" And you're like, "If you weren't texting, then maybe you would know." And please shut up because everyone's giving us those looks right now.
This is our what's it called when everyone gets together to tell someone that they have a problem?
It's intervention. It's the first podcast. Intervention podcast.
I actually had it. I had an intervention that didn't know what an intervention was called.
Really? You had an intervention?
Yeah, it wasn't very successful because I did it again. I went and saw a press screening of Fantastic Four last week, and someone was on their phone next to me. And a lady, because it was a preview screening, so all the press guys were there.
Went at 10 a.m. or something, because I remember like, do you want to come? And I was like,
AKA Mark Fennell o'clock. An old snooty film reviewer came down and was like, excuse me, you're finding this, it's very distracting with you texting this entire movie, blah, 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 blah. I thought that was pretty funny because, to be honest, I thought the Fantastic Four movie was a piece of shit. And we'll get to that later in the podcast. Let's first talk about Ballers.
I was going
to
say, no, seriously, there needs to be some referendum made or something about film etiquette. Like the lengths that Alamo Drafthouse went to, where it's like zero strike policy, I'm such a fan of.
You don't like the current... I think they have like Minions doing it now, don't they?
No, right now they actually show it. And this is shout outs to all my... We managed to bring it up most episodes. Friday Night Lights actually shot a scene with Kyle Chandler, who plays Coach Taylor in Friday Night Lights. And this is the current PSA they have. They stuck it on their YouTube channel. You should check it out. And it's him because, he's known to give motivational speeches. It's kind of like the third beat of every episode of Friday Night Lights in the locker room, telling high school boys, they can be superstars. So it's him trying to deliver a speech, and then he hears someone, and they get a text, and he gets like noticeably aggravated. And then by the end of it, someone's trying to Snapchat his speech and stuff. And he's just like, guys, what the fuck's going on? I'm trying to give you like one of my heartwarming speeches. And it's just like awesome. It's like best PSA I've seen. And they shot Friday Night Lights in Austin as well. So I was like, you know, two for two. And yeah, if you're in a movie and you put your phone on, you see one of the Hey Fan boys, just turn it off.
All right, well, let's interrupt the Ballers update to do another another part of our podcast, another segment. We'll call this one Dreamcast. And in this one, I want everyone to recast that Kyle Chandler. What was
it? So you're calling the Dreamcast card right now. This is great.
Yeah.
So, Kyle Chandler, Coach Taylor character. So, with a motivational speech.
If you were gonna film the equivalent of that in Sydney, who would you cast and what would they be doing? What famous Sydney character?
Let's make the... let's let the sting go now. Boom.
Dreamcast.
Yeah. Okay, now it's officially started. Segment started once the sting's on. All right, I'm going to think. Raj, what have you got?
I was actually not paying attention to that last section.
Jesus, Raj.
What are you doing?
What is Kyle Chandler? Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
So he was just saying that before... there was before. Goddamn.
Alex Dimitriadis.
What were you doing when you texting in Las Vegas?
Yeah. Someone from Wog Boy like Vince Colosimo.
Yeah, Vince Colosimo, the other guy, Effie.
And what are they trying to do and getting interrupted by people texting?
Shut down a street in Auburn to...
to do their wedding.
Have a wedding, I don't know.
Topical.
Who have you got?
Definitely Alf Stewart.
Yeah?
And Alf Stewart is... he's just trying to tell everybody to have a great surf today.
I've got
From Home and Away, and then all those damn new surfers, the guys that just come to the surf club, they don't surf. They just muck around in their makeup in the middle of the day. The boys wearing makeup, it's a problem for Alf, and they're trying to play chat roulette on their phones.
I hate when people play chat roulette.
And he gives them a what for.
So everyone's going Australian. I guess I'll go Australian too.
Well, I mean, that's it's a Sydney equivalent of that.
Oh, the Sydney equivalent. Right, yeah. Sorry, yeah. What was Hey Dad?
Great
shot?
Segment.
That was Melbourne.
Oh, Hey Dad. Yeah, right.
It's gonna be like maybe the shoot's wound down. It's like, and cut, and then he's trying to ask you to come along for a. Hey, I drop you home. Your parents aren't here.
This
and stuff.
Is dark.
It's not dark. It's like the anti-PSA. It's like only be quiet in the movies, but don't take rides with strangers.
Yeah, perfect.
So it's like two for one, and the New South Wales government's like saving money straight there. And then, straight down the middle.
And then what was the Hey Dad equivalent of Effie? Betty.
Betty.
With the orange hair.
Yeah.
She was the nutty secretary.
I only vaguely remember. I always thought it was just at his house. I didn't realize it was
at his house, but he was an architect.
At home office, mate.
His own firm, his own nudge, and his own.
You don't pay attention in podcasts, and you don't know any classic Australian TV shows, yeah, Raj. Why do we even have you on?
What is going on?
I'm not a buff.
You're not a Hey Dad buff anyway. Probably a good thing. Let's go back to the Ballers update.
Ballers. All right. So I watched it.
Have you guys watched any Ballers?
We haven't watched any Ballers yet.
Ballers is the show on HBO. It's basically Entourage, but instead of all the beloved Entourage characters, it's The Rock and the people that you don't know.
Yeah, and I watch it so you don't have to. And I've taken 3 points tonight. That I was like, shit, I better cram this one in before you guys come, and luckily I did.
Lloyd. Come in here and show me what's going on Ballers!
So from the top, here we go. Most useless credit still is produced by Mark Wahlberg. Like, we get it. Like, I know what the show is and what it stands for.
I heard
for.
That he actually wanted to call Ballers produced by Mark Wahlberg. Or Ballers.
Ballers.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. so that's the first point. One of Spencer Baller, I still don't know his surname. Played by The Rock, one of his clients, which is a young 20-something NFL player, is wearing a Fat Sal shirt. And despite being on the other side of the country, for those who don't know, Fat Sal's is a restaurant owned in California by Jerry Ferreira. That's right. This is another Jerry Ferreira section. We had one last week who played
Turtle
in Entourage. And I've got the restaurant's mission statement.
It was written on the shirt?
Wasn't written on the shirt. It's written in their website. There's actually on their website, you can go to menu, locations, and there's just a drop down called Our Story. And I think this is one that a lot of people should read. Fat Sal's is a creative culinary culmination and vision of three friends from New York. The group is made up of food lovers Sal, Fat Sal, Josh, Jerry Ferreira, one of the stars of HBO's hit show Entourage. These men set out with the goal of bringing mouth-watering, over-the-top food to hungry and service-savvy people all over the world. Everything we serve has a unique emphasis on fun and creativity while stressing freshness and top-of-the-line ingredients. All of us hope you enjoy each visit and keep coming back. We'd love to hear your comments, questions, and feedback.
So that all of that was written on this guy's shirt?
It's all written on the back. Luckily, it was in 1080p. It was really easy to see. But
that's,
like,
that's really cool of Mark Wahlberg to still be giving Joey Ferreira like some
I thought so.
Some love.
But perhaps the biggest takeaway was Rob Corddry's character referred to The Rock, Spencer Baller, as we've come to know and love, as a bald, multicultural motherfucker. And I thought, well, that's it. That's 3 for 3. Like, I can't really get any better than those 3 points.
And I love that every week you don't really tell us any part of the plot whatsoever. It'd be like, The Rock was in his car. That's it.
Well, no, you know what? I was watching with Steve, our tech guru, before we started recording.
TG.
I just like to make sure the AV's working before we start recording. It was really nice of him to come by. And I said, you know what? This should have been the pilot episode because it was actually okay. This was like episode 9 or something. Throughout the whole series, Spencer Ball has been having these nightmares and waking up in cold sweats because he used to be a professional NFL player. Now he's manages their money and stuff. But he knocked a guy out and he made him unable to play. But they only reveal that this episode. So that's what's been kind of he's in a demon, so to speak.
Would you say this is the most enjoyable Ballers episode yet?
Hands down. And he knows the guy. He has a car repair place in Miami. So he purposely damages his car, so the guy has to come get him. And then he's like, look, I'm sorry for what I did all those years ago. Let me take you and your son out to a ball game tonight. And I was like, you know what? That was actually, there was no cocaine binging scenes on boats and stuff. It was the least Entourage episode of it. And I was like, that was actually enjoyable. There was no like hidden sexy times. It was just straight up Spencer Baller trying to be a good guy and battle his demons. And I was like, you know, I'll watch next ep, maybe a little more attentive next time.
If you're looking for something to fill the gap the True Detective has left, Ballers. Ballers is the one.
Start from episode 9.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they knew that. Maybe they knew that no one would be watching Ballers because
After
True Detective
TD.
Was on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, everyone's got HBO. It's an HBO generation.
Hey, fam.
HBO Go. People, you know, now that you can select what you watch, no one's going to select True Detective. No one's going to select Ballers. True Detective.
But that also brings us to another point. What the hell should you and I watch? I mean, we're getting mad DLs from, over the world. People were like, what do these two idiots think of this show? We're showless this week. This is the first time where we're kind of left without a show.
I didn't watch any TV in the last week. Raj and Ev, you guys, I know you don't have a gold class set up at your house. Do you?
No, but we do.
You do?
Yeah.
We even have a popcorn machine.
Do you really?
Yep.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Do you refer to it as your gold class lounge room or your lux lounge room?
Ooh.
Lux.
What happens if you text in the lounge room while you're watching something?
Ooh. Sometimes Ev's on her phone while we're trying to watch stuff and...
It's like the Alamo State House.
Really? That's for sure.
You, one morning you're out?
Yeah.
Guys, relationships can be difficult.
Holy shit.
So give us some TV tips. What should we be watching?
Mm. Do you want to go?
You go.
Just go at the same time.
No, you go.
We just started watching Mr. Robot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Started it this week. And
which is
that
quite
was
good.
The one I said to Levin's. I'm like, maybe this should be the next guy we watch. Let's see what Eben...
What is Mr. Robot say? About?
So it's about a young cybersecurity engineer who's kind of like a pseudo Tyler Durden kind of character from Fight Club. I mean, it feels like his character is based a lot on him. He's very like anarchic. He's very anti-establishment, but he works for the establishment. Well,
that's what you gotta do. You gotta work for the man to bring down the man, you know?
Yeah. And
how far through are you guys?
I think just three.
Three episodes. All
right, I'm only one, so I don't think there'll be any Hecto spoilers.
Who's in it?
So the main character, I've forgotten what his name is.
I don't know, Rami, but don't you think he looks Rami like a young someone. Michael Shannon?
Yes.
I was watching it. I was like, if we needed someone to play Michael Shannon, maybe 15 years younger than who he is,
but did you
get this guy?
You know, if you look at Michael Shannon younger, he looks nothing like that. He's in Back to the Future 1
2. In the cafes.
No, in the dance scene.
No, it's Billy Zane in the cafes.
Yeah,
that's it. I've got to check that out. But he, I forget his name. But yeah, he's an identical twin I read yesterday.
Rami Yatas or something like that.
Rami something.
Portuguese and Egyptian. I know everything about him except his name. Because me and Steve were like, yeah, where is this guy from? Like, again, he was setting up my
age. But also, Shoot First, Ask Christian Slater is also in it.
Are you Christian Slater's agent? Because all of a sudden I want to hire him after hearing that that introduction.
He's very like Christian Slater, Heather era, like yeah, crazy.
Heather's Christian. Turn, it's turn, good, up, like, turn up the volume.
Yeah. Even down to the clothes.
Yeah.
Even down exactly to catching same subways and, in New
it's
York
like
City.
He hasn't washed since.
Yeah.
Since those Broken films. Arrow.
Yeah.
And he has a patch on his jacket that says Mr. Robot.
He is Mr. Robot.
So they're like this hacking community. But it's, I was like, I remember reading the pitch and I was like, hacking? I'm like, seriously, Angelina Jolie, Sandra Bullock, we all saw what happens when like people who don't know much about the internet or hacking attempts to write it.
I am Angela Bennett.
It's just...
No, you guys haven't seen The Net?
Oh, yeah, we did watch that recently,
no,
didn't we?
No, we didn't.
No, it was Johnny Mnemonic. We watched. Came out at the same time.
Yeah, based off William Gibson's short story.
Yeah, Johnny Mnemonic.
And he like pops up in like what part of like Neuromancer maybe? Or is like there's a reference to it? It's all the same universe.
I've never seen it, but I've played the Johnny Mnemonic pinball machine.
Yes, yeah, it's sick.
Is that the one with the big metal hand?
Yeah.
Is there a metal hand in Johnny Mnemonic?
Is that like...
Yeah, I can't remember.
Cool.
Forgettable.
Shit. You guys are like, this is great popcorn. I'm so glad we got a popcorn maker.
Are you guys into it?
It was quite a bad film.
Mr. Robot?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're
it's
into
really
it.
It's very, it's very dark.
Yeah,
like,
it's a bit... there's a lot of like drug taking, anxiety, like he's in his own head.
But also his speeches are so Tyler Durden. I was trying to think what it reminded me of, and it flashes up.
And Christian Slater's like Brad Pitt, like, and at this point, we're not sure whether that is like the kind of setup.
Yeah, because you keep watching it going, is anyone actually talking to Christian Slater besides this guy?
Is it a Sixth Sense as well type of thing? I was like, when he's on the, the Ferris wheel. But no, man, you should totally watch it. I was so into it. I was like, this is like way better than it should be.
It's funny
because it's like Battlestar Galactica font for the title. I was like,
what's it on?
Is no, it's
on?
Like a Sega font.
It's actually on USA Network, which is like,
which is why
really
everyone's shocked
about it. Suits.
Yeah,
so why everyone's shocked. They're like, why is this show good? This should be on HBO or a Showtime or something. That seems
and is
to
it
be.
Is it like a drama or a comedy or a drama?
It's kind of like, a thriller. Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with that mashup of genres.
a dramedy. Well, I hadn't watched a show which ends on such obvious cliffhangers, and not in a bad way, but since like a Breaking Bad or something, where you're like, oh shit, I've got to see what happens next. Like,
oh, so
Breaking
it's like, Bad, like a Walking Dead, sorry, like a like a comic book kind of cliffhanger.
Yeah, it was kind of like, well, for the first episode anyway. I don't know if that's because it was written as a pilot, and they're like, you got to buy the rest. Actually, no, it's an interesting story. I was reading about it. They made the pilot, put it on YouTube, and it got picked up as a series.
Is that for Mr. Robot?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And it ends on such a point where you're like, well, not, it's not like some crazy, but you're just like, yeah, I actually want to know what is going on. That's how I heard about it originally. Someone at work was like, oh, did you hear about this? Some guys stuck it up on YouTube. So actually, this is probably a complete lie. I haven't even verified that, but that's the way I've been
fact check.
Yeah. But he's so Tyler Durden with those little, and the way it cuts in, like, when
did you read that on Reddit?
Society is. I did not read it on Reddit.
That's good. I've been worrying about you and Reddit lately.
I sent you some good lols from Reddit.
I worry about everyone and Reddit.
I worry about Reddit. Yeah.
I don't get Reddit.
I never go on Reddit.
I watched this documentary about one of the founders of Reddit.
He killed himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hectic, right?
So sad.
Yeah, it was.
I get in trouble
like
for watching
mid-20s or something.
Yeah, those depressing documentaries.
She watches a lot of depressing documentaries.
I watched like Blackfish this week, which is the SeaWorld one, which is so sad.
Yeah, Blackfish
and then
is
I mean,
like, Netflix Australia has got plenty of depressing documentaries. Yeah. If that's the
seriously,
game you're after.
I don't know what information Netflix gives out, but all I watch are like serial killer. I have like US Netflix and all that.
Oh my god,
is like,
yes.
And YouTube is a goddamn goldmine for serial killer documentaries.
I'm like, obsessed.
All I watch.
The Jinx. Did you see it?
Yeah, twice. It's like
so
good. Yeah, Jinx is incredible. Jinx is amazing.
All right, so we've got Mr. Robot, depressing documentaries. Yeah. Is there any hot TV
Suits
we should be watching?
Suits, if you want something really bad that's addictive.
What Suits? Is it like a CW kind of show?
It's actually on AB. What is it?
USA
as well. As Mr. Robot, but it's this lawyer. It's kind of like a cross between Law and Order and Gossip Girl, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's like this lawyer drama. It's all set in an office, and there's two like hot young lawyers. One of them's kind of a fraud, so he didn't really go to Harvard. But
he did the bar for him, yeah, or something, right?
He's got a photographic memory, so he knows the whole law book. So he's a fraud. So the whole premise of the show is that this guy's like covering his ass. But
does he sign every letter off XOXO as a fraud?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
And it's Veronica Mars.
It's a similar setup to like Breaking Bad, where it's like a lot of the plot hinges on him worrying that he's going to get caught, and he like doesn't want his world to come tumbling down.
Yeah,
a feeling that we can all relate to every day of our lives.
Every yeah, every God damn, day. I know it. I really want to watch Show Me Your Hero. That's the one that just started this week on HBO. It's David Simon, guy who did The Wire and Treme and Generation Kill. It's only 6 eps, so I'm like not a lot of risk in the commitment department.
Yeah.
And they're releasing 2 eps every Sunday. And it's Oscar Isaac is in it, who was in Ex Machina and upcoming Star Wars. And it's just,
he's in everything.
He was kind of like starred on me.
In
Ex Machina.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. Where's your Swedish, what is it, like subterranean, insane
house
base? House.
Yeah, that's a real hotel.
I was obsessed with it. As soon as I left, I was like, where the hell is that
place? And that website is just all... like, stay at our hotel. That's where Ex Machina was filmed. And it's all pictures of behind the scenes of Ex Machina.
That's still the best movie I've seen this year. Yeah. Hands down.
It's pretty good.
It's like a play, too. Like, there's only 3 actors in it or something crazy. It's insane for like a 2-hour film to have no more than 2 people on screen that are the same 2 people for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. It was
insane.
I thought it was really good. I thought it could have maybe pushed it a little bit, maybe, but like, I'm not exactly sure how. Like, the story didn't quite have enough build up for me. Like, it could have, but then maybe it shouldn't have. Like, maybe it should, like, the way that they were paired back was okay.
I really bought into the world, like, in her, how it wasn't like crazy. You have to take a huge leap of faith to think this is what tech could be like in 5-10 years or something.
Like her, or the Fifth Element.
That's what I said. Yeah, it was like her. Yeah. It was just like Back to the Future 2 when everyone's getting on their lace-up Nikes. But yeah, I was just like, no, I really like that side of it too. I love watching, you know, utopian / dystopian stuff and being like, no, that wouldn't happen. But this was just like, yeah, everything was completely plausible. It was like, I really dug that. It was stunning. It looked amazing too. And the soundtrack was bitching as well.
So if you guys pretty much exclusively see movies at Gold Class, Lux or IMAX, that means you must have an exclusive all blockbuster diet. Am I correct?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, and then we save the other ones for home most
what's,
of the
what's
time.
What's the smallest movie, in inverted commas, you've seen in a...
what's the most pointless bullshit movie you've seen?
What's the most black
didn't
and white
didn't even have an explosion
film?
Or a superhero in
oh,
it?
Oh, pointless movie. Ugh. What did we hate the most? I mean, this did have explosions, but Terminator Genesis was the worst.
That's definition
movie.
Blockbuster.
I have not seen it.
I saw this great
art house movie
small
on the weekend.
Budget,
yeah.
It's
the fifth
it's
movie
great,
in the Terminator
franchise. It's got this up-and-coming
franchise.
Austrian actor. It's, so no.
It's like German noir.
So you mean like a bad movie?
No.
You don't mean a bad movie. You mean a small budget movie.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you could argue that all those movies suck.
Yeah.
No, they're great.
I didn't know.
You got to start somewhere.
Oh, yeah,
Nightcrawler
was probably... That wasn't in Gold Class.
You guys didn't like Nightcrawler?
No, we loved it.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry.
It was like
what a fun, confusing premise I decided to set up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Nightcrawler was good. Nightcrawler was amazing. Yeah. That's
really?
The best movie I saw last year.
Yeah,
I would say
it was like top Likewise. 5 for me for sure.
I liked Whiplash.
Whiplash was really good.
I've only seen the short of Whiplash. I haven't seen
Whiplash.
Which is, you know, why the director could, even though he should have been, he wasn't nominated for Best Original Screenplay because technically it was an adaptation. That's why it was nominated for Best
of
Adapted Screenplay because he wrote it as an adaptation of his own short story. So he was like, it was a weird technicality which caught him out for being Best Original Screenplay.
Have you seen the short?
Yeah, I have.
And it's got Young Neil instead
from
of...
Yeah, yeah,
Scott
it's got
Pilgrim,
Young Neil.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. It's so good.
But it's cool that they still won the Oscar for Devo's Whip It best song.
And best
in,
use
in
of
a
tight black
year.
T-shirt in a American motion picture.
That was the best part of... Yeah, when at the end when Miles Teller finally played the drums for Devo at the end of Whiplash.
Like, we did it. Yay.
You don't remember that? It was great. He got hit by a car.
I
and then
I think he's joking.
Mark Mothersbaugh was like, hey, man, you dropped your red pointy hat.
Here, put this teapot on... No, put this pot plant on your head. No, wrong way. Upside down. I really thought after seeing Nightcrawler that Jake Gyllenhaal would have been an amazing choice for... a Joker on screen. Yeah. Because he...
Yeah.
Just for me, he had these eyes and just the way he was hogged the screen. Good. And not in a bad way. Just like... He was like just hamming it up and was
robbed
crazy
on
guy.
The Oscar nom for that yeah. one.
What
robbed
the fuck?
Big time.
How
yeah.
the hell did he
that
not
was
get
the worst
nod?
Oscars. How did Eddie Redmayne... Yeah. I have a huge problem with that guy.
You know the do Oscars you, rules. You if you play a biographical slash handicap slash historical figure, I'm not being a prick here or anything, but you're always going to get... You know, it's because Hollywood used to ban people like that from being in films because of their blacklist they would have for apps. So it's now it's almost like a sorry award a lot of the time if someone takes on the role as somebody who is someone who they might have banned based on a disability, a sexual preference, a philosophical preference, anything. It's kind of like... Because the blacklist in Hollywood's nuts. Like, you know, from Jewish people to people who might have been communist sympathizers to homosexuals. But it's just like... Now, you know, it's kind of like, oh, we better like say, yeah, that was a shit
period.
We
could make up for lost time.
Yeah, we better give him a, like something now. And it's like, I'm not being like a tinfoil hat dude or anything, but it's very obvious. Sure? You're kind of like, you're going to get an Oscar if you do something like that.
I got given a gift package by
Eddie Redmayne. Congratulations on the new podcast. Hey fam, from Eddie and the boys.
A competitor to Menulog. And in it was like a $30 voucher to do takeaway get delivery from somewhere in my area, and then like a little tin of hot chocolate, and then fluffy slippers, and then a DVD copy of what's the movie that
Theory of Everything.
The Theory of Everything.
Can't think
and then
of
it was like,
somewhere.
Hi Andrew, just wanted to make sure you have the best night in ever. I'm like, this is
did they
not
give you a popcorn machine?
Yeah.
Was that your Theory of Everything wrong with that promo?
It's like, I don't know. It was like, hey, Andrew, we wanted to make sure that you have the best night in ever. So we gave you a half full bag of salt and vinegar potato chips and a Game Boy with Tetris on it. Have a good life.
See you later.
But look, we brought up the Joker, we brought up Miles Teller, and that's all the segue.
What they have in common, bro?
To talk about some superhero movies. That's all we got you guys in here today, because I would say that you've seen every one of the superhero movies that's come out in the last decade. And so have
correct.
We.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, though and, I haven't seen F4.
You haven't seen Fantastic Four yet? Because I held my tongue.
Were you turned off by him? Was that where it came
just
from?
Just by everybody. But
the entire
huge
world.
Huge Josh Trank fan. Yeah, I mean, look, we all know what happened. Fantastic Four's come out. A lot of people have a lot of opinions. The director did something which was kind of, some might say, wasn't the best thing, which was tweeting how shit the current movie is, and the one he wanted to make would never be seen. But Levins was like, no, Trank is, you know...
Josh Trank is actually like a goat.
He's a total goat.
I've heard some cool stories since the movie came out, like behind the scenes.
Trashing
apparently,
their
like,
house.
Well, yeah, apparently he and Miles Teller got into a fist fight on set and just, like, the studio hates him, basically.
So huge.
Because what happens, I mean, if you trace it historically, he was supposed to be doing one of the Star Wars spin-off films, which is coming out after Episode 7, then after the first spin-off film, Rogue One. He was going to be doing this Boba Fett film, and then he didn't make it to this big Comic-Con type thing this year where they were supposed to, and he put out for being sick. But then 2 weeks later, he was announced the movie's not happening and he's off the project.
And it possibly linked to how...
Well, 20th Century Fox, all it takes is one guy to call someone, you know, one producer to be like, hey, you should watch out for this dude.
Which ties into Raj's theory of...
Yeah, I think there's a conspiracy that, like, if someone doesn't play the game right or someone plays the game too well, that can influence, like, a lot of their reviews, their Rotten Tomatoes ratings. When Skyfall came out, the most recent James Bond film, that got, like, rave reviews. But anyone who saw that film saw that it was a pile of hot garbage. So
what?
It was like,
I was into Skyfall.
I thought it was a pile of
hot garbage.
It was a
James Bond movie. I wasn't expecting
anything else. Javier Bardem pulled half his face out. It was great.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Seen that shit before?
But there were people saying it was the best Bond film.
Well, that was because there was an Aston Martin in it. That's why. That's all they needed.
I mean, it could have been just hyperbole. But, I mean, still, it was, like, a little bit. Anyway, so I kind of think that maybe this Josh Trank guy, like, really pissed off some bad producers and bad, you know, upper echelon of Hollywood.
When you hear about the way he got in, like, he made a real low budget movie which made shitloads of money and kind of was this young, like, he's like 30, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 30.
He's pretty young,
like, he could be someone who might be shaking up a system or making people very scared, or I don't know.
I think he's just pissing people off.
I think he's very fresh on it, and most freshies probably. I mean, I'm no Hollywood insider, but most freshies when they get a big project like that, get happily walked over, and he probably tried to take a stand, and everyone fucking kicked him in the teeth for it.
But look, you pointed out in the Kevin Smith podcast, Fat Man on Batman, he's been a guest for four episodes. They're doing like four episode
interview with him about. Like his career, and he's
listen to this. He comes across as like, and it was just before the movie was released too, so he has none of the know.
So it's meant to be a 4-part one. They've only put out the first three, and now they haven't put out an episode for like 2.5 weeks.
Do you reckon they're sitting on it?
I don't know. I guess yeah, because maybe all the reviews came out. And
but
like,
it's fascinating. Like his dad's won an Oscar for a documentary feature in the '90s, and he's just been like ingrained in Hollywood his whole life, but not ever in a like in a waspy type of spoons type of way. Like he just happened to be part of that working family who's always been in Hollywood, which is really interesting.
The previews for Fantastic Four made it look like kind of good.
Oh yeah.
And I was actually excited to see it. And then the reviews, started coming because they were embargoed. But it was like people meant like even the studio going like, hey, you might not get everything you want out of the first one, but wait till you see what we've got in store for the characters.
It's like the worst thing.
It's like, that's not very like promising. And then Miles Teller said something like, you shouldn't listen to critics, blah blah blah. Like, go see the movie and make up your own mind.
Thanks, Miles.
Just people really,
great
really,
PR. Yeah, exactly. Strategy.
And but I saw it, and I could not believe what a piece of shit movie Fantastic Four was. And everyone seems to agree with me except you, Raj, and that's the main...
And Ev as well. I think
I just didn't hate it as much as everyone hates
it. I definitely don't think it's like a perfect film by any means. I don't even think it's a great film, but I don't think it warrants the amount of hatred that it's like been given. I can kind of see why it's been given like such a bad rap. But I don't, we haven't discussed it at all, but
we saved it for the pod, man.
Yeah. So
we don't even talk to each other during the week.
I
don't even know what this guy does.
I get blindfolded and someone drives me here once a week.
it's me.
That sounds really hard.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You should celebrate yourself every day. But some days, you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Just don't know what's
it's
me.
A Miles Teller.
It's Miles Teller.
I think the reason most people dislike it is because it doesn't live up to the normal
comic book kind of.
Yeah, no big battles like halfway through.
Yeah, it doesn't meet the criteria for a standard superhero movie. And instead, they kind of deal with more the human element of like these kids who are affected by an accident and then are, like, have to deal with, you know, the deformities that they experience.
They are
afterwards.
Young, aren't they? Like, that's a bit of a change from the other stuff, which I think is fine. But I mean, yeah, that's something that is definitely
different.
You haven't
seen it, man. Shut the fuck up.
It's something that differentiates. I mean, you know, they're kiddies. There's no gray hairs on this Reed Richards.
Yeah, I don't think they necessarily like went deep enough into that story, but they scratched. I liked the potential that that storyline.
Well, that's what I mean, and that's my same problem that I had with what was the Josh Trank movie that he
Chronicle.
Had?
Chronicle.
It's such an incredible premise, but the execution is like far from perfect, or far from even that good. But the idea behind it is actually one that I think back on that movie, and I'm like, oh, I really liked parts of that movie. And then this thing, there were like moments where I was like, oh, it's like, I kind of, when the 1 year later bit came, oh, spoiler, we're going to have brief spoilers on this. I feel like every review has spoiled every single part of this movie anyway.
Is there seriously a fade to black 1 year later scene?
Yeah, just after,
such
just
a
after
lazy
the accident.
Thing. I hate when that happens.
But then it kind of like, it flips the script. So Ben Grimm is being used as the thing by the American army as like, you know, an unstoppable weapon. And I was like, oh, there is kind of like, you know, that's a cool story. That's a cool take on it. And, Mr. Fantastic is fucked off and isn't being a part of it. And that premise, like if the movie just started at that and you were just hit with that straight away and the rest of it you learnt throughout the movie,
yeah.
I think it would have been good. But you have like an hour and a bit set up to the accident. Then you have 1 year later.
What do they go with? Do they go with comic or ultimate style of?
Oh no, it's pretty close to the comic. Like, I mean, but the biggest thing is that it isn't the Fantastic Four who go off together. It's Ben Grimm, Mr. Fantastic, Johnny, the Human Torch, and Dr. Doom. They all go off together,
right.
And then they come back, and then the machine. I mean, like, there is cool little moments like, you know, like rocks get into Ben Grimm, so that's why he gets like the rock thing, and Johnny Storm, his one lights on fire, and then something happens, and when it comes back, and then Sue Storm gets her invisible powers, very cool, whatever. It then, so like you have this really long setup, you have the accident, then you have this 1 year later bit, then you kind of have like this 10 minutes of like, oh wow, that's what's happening now. Then you have 5 minutes where they go get Mr. Fantastic, and then suddenly Dr. Doom is back as well, and you have like, there was just this moment where I was like, oh shit, this is the final battle all of a sudden, and it just felt really undeserved and really stupid that they would spend all that setup incorporating Victor as a big part of these characters' lives and like, and then suddenly have him appear as a villain for 10 minutes and then kill him. Spoiler alert.
Oh, really? They kill him.
They kill the best.
They kill their Magneto.
Arguably
their,
the best villain. I mean, like, you know, who knows? You know, comic book movies are the same as comic books. Characters don't ever really stay dead, but.
Unless Fox or Sony own the rights to them.
Yeah, and like, you know, there are so many stupid bits. It's like,
Wolverine
oh,
come back
Doctor or... Doom is stronger than us, but there are four of us. If we all work together, like, that's genuine fucking dialogue.
So do you think a lot of suits jumped in, were just like, made a lot of decisions, basically?
And I think they had to. I think it went over budget and they didn't have, like, enough footage to use...
To salvage the film.
Yeah, so they've just edited it really badly.
And I heard they had to do heaps of reshoots, and all the reshoots were all action stuff because there wasn't enough action.
And I heard they were all on weekends too because everyone was working on other projects and they were like just
floating. Oh, man, you can tell some of those fights are happening on a Saturday.
You know what a Saturday fight's like?
What's a Saturday fight like, Angus?
Saturday fight's kind of like, it's a little more of a, you've got to be more aggression in you, I think. You know, you've been waiting all weekend. Well, that's one way to look at it. You've been waiting all weekend for this fight. Whereas a Sunday fight, I think, is kind of like... You know, let's take the day off. I think of it as like penalty rates when I used to work in retail as a teenager. Like
the Saturday night fights go on at King's Cross. So
yeah,
it's like
it's a lockout law sitch.
Yeah,
Josh Trank is responsible for lockout laws.
No, the reason Fantastic Four was so bad is because of Barry fucking O'Farrell and the fucking Sydney lockout laws.
Thanks a lot, Barry O'Farrell. New segment.
One last bad thing I'll say, and you're gonna love this, Angus. At the end, they don't know what to call themselves. And
they look at camera and say,
and one of them says something like, I don't know, I reckon that's pretty fantastic. And then it zooms in on Miles Teller going, oh, and then go,
are you kidding me?
Go, seriously.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's a dead, like almost word for word. What the fuck?
That is amazing. Cause that is how,
I let out an audible, like,
that is horrible.
And I can sit through a stupid blockbuster. Like, you know, I like told off the kids groaning behind me during Jurassic World. Like some guy after the end of Jurassic World was like, well, that was the last movie, the worst movie I've ever seen. I'm like, you have not seen enough movies.
Also, like my, I think I've said this to you, but my complaint with people complaining about Jurassic World, you bought a fucking movie ticket and you know it's about a cloned dinosaur theme park. Like you, the advertising did not lead you to believe otherwise. Yeah. You know exactly what you're going to get into. Like, don't be a putz. It's about...
Eb definitely has a lot to say.
I was the putz.
Were you the putz?
I was so really? Mad about that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was so much worse than I thought it was going to
really?
Be.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's get your take on it. Is there anything that you want to rebut what I just said about Fantastic Four?
I would say two things. I agree. It is not great, but it's not worse than Terminator Genesis, which sure, I mentioned earlier, which has a better rating for some reason, and people didn't get as angry about that movie. I
think because it was
why.
Cute. From what I can hear, a lot of people loving the fact there's like cute throwbacks to the other one. Like,
but it's just that wasn't like cute.
When I say cute,
Sarah
I mean like
Connor.
Looking at the camera and nudge, wink, wink reference. Which
oh,
is
no,
horrible.
No, we're talking about Fantastic Four now.
Oh, no, Genesis.
Oh, Genesis. Oh, shit.
But yeah. No, that's what it's like, kind of too cute. That, and at least suckers might be like, oh, that's right. I saw that movie 20 years ago. That's a joke that only I get. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and just
maybe.
Like win suckers over.
That's my kind of joke.
Yeah, where it's like,
this
well,
is my kind of Terminator.
Hey, you said I'll be back. I think that's from the Terminator movie. You know what I mean? It's just like,
you know,
yeah.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger, the actor who just said I'll be back.
It's yeah, I think... That unfortunately, nostalgia goes a long way with people who will you know get a emotional.
You know what though, Angus?
Something.
That's Hollywood, baby.
is this the official start or ending of That's Hollywood?
I would say your life is the segment called That's Hollywood.
Yeah,
baby.
The segment will end where I've got a gun to my head and I say That's Hollywood, baby, and then there'll be no more hey fam.
Eb has a really polite shut the fuck up look on her face.
Yeah,
so please
speak about Jurassic World.
The other thing I liked about it was I don't know if I read this or heard it in a podcast, but he talked about how he wanted the family to be diverse, and that's mm-hmm. the kind of family he's grown up with. And he said, you know, when I go home for Christmas, it's not just white people mm-hmm. at Christmas. It's, you know, I have black people. I have, you know, so that it sort of, he wanted to represent his world and the modern world. And I felt like the movie did that well, and it treated the female character well. It didn't treat her badly, like most movies
do. But she didn't get to go on the voyage.
I know, get
that.
Is that
an ultimate thing?
But she didn't also.
Is that Ultimate Fantastic Four?
She also didn't hook up with Miles Teller, and you know that they get married. Mm. So it's kind of like we didn't need to see that because we know it's going to happen. And there wasn't kind of like a forced love story in the midst of it.
She wasn't really a damsel in distress.
No,
she was calling shots and taking names.
Yeah.
I haven't, I haven't seen it as we've said, but I've heard Michael B. Jordan is like baller in it.
Well, you know, he's the best thing about it.
Everyone
was,
says
was
he's
the thing that everyone
the
was so
of
upset
heart,
about.
Like
was...
you take away that he is like real.
I'm
like
predicting he's the next big thing in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Creed coming up, which is like the Rocky reboot.
Wait, did anyone watch Friday Night Lights here when I said the reference for no? Because he is the lead character for the last two seasons, and he is like the best. You just like, and he played on. He's in season one of The Wire.
Yeah, and I just remember him from The Wire.
Yeah, it was his first big thing after The Wire.
Talking about chicken nuggets.
But he just like, he's the best. He's like this high school hero, kid from the wrong side of the tracks. Coach is like, you can do this. And I'm like, what? I've always been rooting for Michael B. Jordan. He was in this one, Station something last year, which got a lot of like...
Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, Fruitvale Station. Was that
I didn't
good?
See it.
Yeah, I want to watch it.
It's meant to be good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the guy that's doing Creed did Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, no way.
So he wrote and directed Creed as well.
And
so
it's a biopic about the band, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's exactly. About Arms Wide Open and the hours they spent in the studio coming up with the video concept.
And,
but no, it's a sequel to the Rocky...
He plays Scott Stapp.
Yeah, he plays Scott Stapp. Scott Stapp infection.
And that's all everyone in the... people are like, hey, black, Scott Stapp can't be black.
No, Hollywood, get used to it. This is my Scott Stapp. You had yours. But yeah, that's the sequel to the Rocky. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I didn't mind Rocky Balboa, the last one. I thought that was like pretty good.
Oh,
the trailer
shit.
Looks
that's
good.
That's what, of course, yeah.
Apollo
that,
Creed.
I'm so excited. That was like...
Welcome to the podcast.
While you're cracking wires about
sorry,
Creed.
Sorry, I was texting Nina Las Vegas.
while you're texting Nina and cracking wires about Creed, no, it's like the sequel.
The Rocky movie. She just that's what I said. Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, Creed. Apollo, he's playing Apollo Creed's son, which is sick.
Yeah.
And Rocky's his trainer or something, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
So good.
Yeah, he's going to be baller.
That was like the surprise out of Comic-Con. That was like the trailer that that and the Evil Dead series they're making. Those are the two things that like, you know.
What's Evil Dead series called? Is it
Ash versus the Evil Dead?
Yeah, that's right.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
Those two things that, like, you know, because, you know, you're like, oh man, I can't wait to see what Marvel says, or, you know, I can't wait to see Star Wars or blah, blah, blah. But the two really big things were, yeah, Creed and...
Yeah.
I didn't see the Creed trailer. Is it out?
It's really good,
it's crazy.
Yeah, right. No, I was just on board just because I was like, I love the cast and I think the Rocky, especially Rocky 1 and like the Rocky Balboa, like I thought that were like just sick.
Yeah. Superhero movies though. So you mentioned that that Fantastic Four, you know, it's nowhere near as bad as Terminator Genesis. But can you think of any recent superhero movies that it's better than? Because that was my big thing. It was like, it really felt like we'd taken a huge step back with superhero movies because they're so in the zeitgeist now. Hollywood's finally figured out how to make them. And it really felt like with this Fantastic Four movie that they'd forgotten everything. Like, yes, I guess it was good to see something a little bit slightly refreshing in that it didn't follow the exact kind of template that every Marvel movie follows. But I don't know. I feel like this was as bad as like Wolverine Origins or Catwoman, you know?
Yeah, I hated Wolverine Origins. But I mean, like, for me, I hated Days of Future Past. Like, I disliked that movie. I disliked the one that came after it, whatever. Or the one that came before it.
Yeah,
First Class, before it's Origins.
I really didn't like those two films.
I know what you don't like about those movies, and we can talk about that, but I think there's enough there to stop me from focusing on that makes me like those overall. Like, for me, Days of Future Past, the future part was the dumbest vision of the future ever. And, like, they had the source material that they pull on, like, literally every second fucking X-Men comic is set in a future, you know, dystopia that they could have, like, you know, used references on. But instead,
I just found it weird how...
They were like, hey, let's use the Tron set and film all the future stuff.
What's that, man? I just found it weird how so many people who aren't comic book readers, and you have to assume a lot of people who go to the movies now to watch these aren't comic book readers, how on board they were with this, like, concept of, like, this future and stuff without any explanations, like, why is Magneto and Professor... Like, even me, as someone who is a reader of them, I was like, well, aren't you going to explain why they're hanging out? Like, it was just... It left, like... I was like, shit, if these guys are on board, should I... Even though I dug the movie, I thought it was killer.
Killer?
Yeah, it was killer.
Which one?
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past.
What did you hate about it, my friend?
I think the future scenes were the worst.
I definitely didn't like all the... I find with those films, there's just too many characters and they can't, like, actually bring them all together. They've managed to kind of do it with the Avengers, kind of, but with the X-Men films, it's like... They just have no focus. They don't know where to, like, steer the story.
That's what I hated about First Class. I think I tried to watch that movie about 5 times and I fell asleep every single time.
Yeah, right. See, I love First Class.
Yeah, just too many. And I like, what's his name? Matthew
Vaughn.
Vaughn. I like his
Vaughn-Z.
Stuff.
Yeah, Vaughn's great.
But yeah, just kept falling asleep.
Yeah, I mean, for all the parts of Days of Future Past that didn't work for me, I think the Quicksilver scene of that was amazing. One of my favorite
that was actually really cool.
Ever.
I mean,
yeah.
Way to upstage.
Quicksilver is the very fast young boy.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Oh. Raj is used to very fast young boys. Don't worry.
I can't remember the scene. I need to refresh my memory.
No, but I mean, way to go to that film. I mean, when it was getting made concurrently to
The Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron, and everyone was like, "Oh, Age of Ultron's Quicksilver is going to be. You know, it's the Marvel one. It's going to be so much better. Look at this goofball." And that scene just like had way more nuance. It was so much, I don't know, it was just a way better scene than any Quicksilver scene in the Marvel universe.
Yeah,
which we'll never see again because the dude dies at the end of the movie.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, if you haven't seen that, then seriously why I mean, isn't that the reason why we started this podcast? Because I didn't like that movie and you did, and we're like, let's put it in a podcast. Seriously, this is how we start a Hey Fan. It was because of Age of Ultron.
Well, I think otherwise, I mean, it's not exactly superhero, but I think the worst out of, well, I mean,
we're going comic book adaptation.
Would you say, before we get there though, would you say Days of Future Past is worse than or better than Fantastic Four?
I would, if I had to choose. Like, I think for me, I think the story is just as badly developed in Days of Future Past as it is in Fantastic Four. Like, sure, but it fits the criteria more than Fantastic Four does. So that's probably why most people would prefer it, but for me, I think it falls just as short. But if we're going like super, super bad, apart from, and not including the Batman films that have George Clooney and Val Kilmer in them, I think the Daredevil and Elektra films are probably the two. Two worse. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, especially Elektra.
I haven't seen Elektra, and I only saw Daredevil at the movie, so I actually don't remember anything except Colin Farrell kills someone with like a toothpick or something.
That's Colin.
That's normal. That's
or was that the cocaine scene in True Detective?
Yeah, that was Ray Velcoro.
Yeah. That movie could have used some Ray Velcoro. I tell you what, because no one was doing any detective work in that.
Yeah, I mean that's like the pinnacle of the era of Hollywood fucking up superhero movies.
I mean, those movies were pretty much made just so they could put out a new metal soundtrack. You know what I mean? Like, remember all of the soundtracks for those movies were heinous, like Spawn. Pieces of shit. Which
the Spawn
had,
one?
Yeah. It was just like we've
so hard.
I guarantee Paramore only exists because they were featured on like late '90s, early '00s, goddamn superhero soundtracks.
But yeah, I feel like all of the Marvel Studios movies coming out now, like while they're not all great, they definitely had a run where like they were all pretty great.
Oh look, they're fine.
The second Thor's pretty bad.
I love the second Thor.
See, I'm with Levins. I was so into second Thor just because what I liked about it was so far removed from.
I didn't hate it. I can't remember
The bad guy in it is the least developed bad guy in the Marvel movie so far.
I can't even remember.
He was like the dark elf.
His name like Melkor.
Malekith. He's actually a sick character in the comics, but.
He was a good actor. It was a dude, Chris Eccleston, who played the villain in The Mask. Who's the bad Mask.
Really?
Speaking of comic book adaptations. Amazing. Yeah.
So what superhero movies do you think of this new age of superhero movies have a good female character?
Oh, okay, right.
Let's go there, guys.
Well, I mean...
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
No,
oh, no.
She actually hates Ramona Flowers. She's such a shit character.
Knives Chow.
Yeah,
that movie's good. Like probably Kim Pine, she's great. She's
the guy
that just rolls her eyes constantly. How shit Scott Pilgrim is to her.
And Ramona's ex.
Ramona's ex, Mae Whitman. Yeah.
You punched me in the boob.
Okay. Yeah.
But then she dies of an orgasm, doesn't she?
Don't we all?
I get it mixed up with the comic. They take two very different paths from that onwards.
No, she dies like the same way in the comic.
Does she?
Yeah.
As an orgasm.
Yep, and then turns into coins. Maybe I think so.
No, I think it's different.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's the movie.
That's the weak spot, and then I think she just straight up dies.
That's when the books and the movie diverge paths because the books hadn't been written yet, and they're kind of like, you end it how you want to. So from that point onwards, like the movie's different to the six comics.
I mean, depending on which Marvel movie you're watching, Scarlet Witch can be done really well, and she was done excellently in Winter Soldier.
Black Widow.
What did I just say?
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Johansson.
Witch.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. Shit.
I should get Scarlet Johansson to change her goddamn name.
Just play both of them. They all look the same. Problem with them in movies.
But
she was great in Winter Soldier.
But then she was so bad in Age of Ultron.
I was also so mad at the Zoe Saldana character in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Gamora in the comics is out of control. Like, she's just is known as the most badass woman in the universe.
Yep.
That's like her fucking tagline.
And she was the most boring of all of them.
Yeah, I can remember sadly when I think of that is her and him holding each other and always turning away because they're too much about to kiss.
Yeah, like kind of sucks. In all of the best Guardians comics, like, she's not a romantic interest for anybody. She's just like, she's the person who saves everybody's ass.
Yeah.
And that was. A lot of people, I don't know, you guys loved Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that was the first time where I ever had experienced like, oh shit, I think I've become too much of a fanboy now, where I was spent the majority of that movie not enjoying it, rather going, that's not what the character's like. That's not what the character's meant to be. Why would that character say
opposite.
That?
I'd only read Annihilation beforehand, you know, the lead up to when that iteration, the Guardians exist. So I think we've already said before, I was so into Guardians, and that I think that's where you and I were different with that film.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, you guys pretty much go into majority of Marvel movies quite clean, like without any, like,
not
kind of
having read.
Yeah, tarnished comic nerddom. I mean, you're right, though. When we've spoken about it on the podcast numerous times, like, all, even like, you know, the TV and the movie adaptations of comic books, they just fuck up like female characters all the time.
The one that I just heard about that I'm really excited about though, because when I initially heard about this movie, I was like, it's going to be boring. Captain Marvel.
Oh yeah.
But now Ronda Rousey's like,
she's campaigning.
Campaigning yeah. to be Captain Marvel. And I'm like, yes, I would so watch that movie.
I mean, Levins, give someone a rundown and Captain Marvel, who might not know the history of this character.
Captain Marvel is a long, long history. He was originally a male superhero.
It's a title,
and then,
isn't it?
And then, I mean, he ends up dying. And the notable part of his death is that he actually just dies from cancer. And it's like the kind of the first story where, you know, a hero didn't meet his doom at the hands of his villain. In fact, his villain comes to like pay respects while he's at his deathbed. And then I'm not sure exactly like what happens, but.
There's Miss Marvel, who's Carol.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's been a few Captain Marvels since then, but then yeah, the one that they're making the movie out of is Carol Danvers.
She's been in the comics maybe 3 or 4 years now. She's
like,
now
like almost a decade. Like, yeah, she was,
oh, she's
was
been, yeah, Ms. Decade,
Marvel,
sorry.
And,
yeah.
and then she
took
becomes
on the title.
Captain Marvel, and they're kind of, I don't know, she's as much in space as she is on Earth, and yeah, the cool thing with that is because there have been so many iterations of Captain Marvel, it is almost like a blank slate, and hopefully that's one of the ones where, I mean, there's definitely going to be some diehard Captain Marvel fans that are going to get pissed off by it, and like any comic adaptation movies do. But I feel like with that one, like they should just write that one like a movie and not try and just basically make an incredible female character and don't worry about how she fits into the universe.
Yeah,
they just need to go on the internet and see what everyone's been complaining about and literally do the opposite of it and just be like, well, there's your like, I'm not saying it's a get out of jail card, but just like, just do it and just like, just don't worry about it. Just do this movie and just do it. Like, don't worry about the shit. Just
I also heard a rumor that apparently Wonder Woman is the like really well handled in the Batman vs Superman movie coming.
That's what I've heard as well.
So I don't know, that could be exciting.
But yeah, Patty Jenkins is directing it, which is exciting.
Yeah,
because
it's awesome.
she did Monster with Charlize Theron.
Oh, she's directing
what an Oscar-winning film I like to call Monster. Yeah, yeah, because the chick from was it a Game of Thrones director or a director? It was a female director, and she'd done something else recently, and she was like.
Oh, Breaking Bad. Michelle McLaren
was doing and now it's Patty Jenkins.
Yeah, right.
But when you hear Gal Gadot talking about it at Comic-Con and stuff, it's so cute because she's just like, I feel so privileged to be bringing this, you know, character to life. And it does sound like,
Chris Pine's just been cast. He's going to be sweet. He's like the, what's his character's name again? I remember he's the explorer that discovers
At one point in the comics, he plays Wonder Woman's like husband.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just said Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Like the... Oh.
The guy from Star Trek.
Oh, I think you're talking about the politician.
No, there's...
Christopher Pine is in it. Yeah.
Wrong podcast. Chris Pine, Captain Kirk, and he's in Wet Hot American Summer series.
You hate that guy.
Yeah.
The actor?
Yeah.
But you're a big fan of the Christopher Pine, the politician, right?
Big fan. Love that Adelaide Senator's policies.
Are there any other like comic book movies, superheroines that are female characters in comic book movies that come to mind as done well, or you reckon that?
Not really. I'm trying to think. I was trying to think before we came into this podcast, but even all of the love interests in the... I think Pepper in Iron Man 3 was pretty good.
Yeah, she doesn't take shit.
And that was Shane Black, who I love. But Iron Man 3 I thought was cool. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Iron Man 3, she's kind of the hero at the end.
Totally.
She's the best thing about that movie. Yeah, I didn't love Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3 is my favorite out of
but
the three.
But what about
Iron
the little precocious kid?
That's what I hated the most
about.
No! I was into it. I was sick of the Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2. They were the same movies. 3 was great. Like, you strip Tony Stark of what makes him Iron Man, i.e. being Iron Man. And this kid, I really got into it. I know, I'm with you. Shane Black murdered
her. But it was like, you know, there's a ginormous threat that's, you know, about to attack both my life and the Earth. I know, instead of calling the Avengers, I'll hang out with
a kid. That's the problem with the Marvel films.
The whole, franchise.
That's the problem with the entire... That's the risk you make when you make a shared universe.
But like, you know, Thor, when he's in in Asgard, he's not going to need to call the Avengers.
But I mean, this isn't my problem. I don't make the Marvel movies. I'm just saying that's something they're going to have to sort out, why they're not calling the Avengers. But I mean,
Thor movies actually probably has the worst, two of the worst female characters in superhero movies. Kat Denning.
Oh my God. Natalie Portman.
I was just thinking Chloe Mortez, Hit Girl. She's great.
Oh yeah, Hit Girl.
She was great, and then at the end of of Kick-Ass 2, she makes out with Kick-Ass.
But then she takes off on a bike like a bad bitch.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it sucks.
Because we saw that in 4DX in Thailand.
What the hell is 4DX?
Oh, wow. Have you never heard of 4DX?
Is it like scratch and sniff?
You've heard of Gold Glass. Kind of. You've heard of Lux. Is that like you've heard of IMAX?
They hand you cards. You have to smell.
Experience 4DX. Tell them what it is.
You went to Universal Studios.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Okay, so you know when you go on some of those rides, like the Simpsons ride or whatever, and it's like you're on a thing and you're watching a screen. And
it was like Star Wars.
And you move around and stuff.
Yeah. So 4DX is watching a movie with that experience.
Yeah, that's
like they sync up the seats with the movie.
So like when someone gets slashed and like blood squirts out, they spray water in your face. Or if someone gets stabbed, like something stabs into your back.
Like the entire movie?
The entire movie.
That's horrible.
So we actually laughed the whole way through Kick-Ass 2.
That's not a movie.
Every time there's an aerial shot, it's like the seats move as if you're flying.
What happened when she made out with Kick-Ass at the end? Which one of you guys got a boner?
I remember that bit. I think we're in hysterics.
Got a boner. I was like, yeah. Damn. No, yeah. I've never done a 4DX film. I mean, yeah, I can take it for the rides, but like a 2-hour thing of getting slapped constantly.
Yeah, man. Next time you watch a movie, I'll come around. You can sit on my lap and I'll give you the 4DX experience.
Yeah, let's do it. What do we got?
We missed out.
Well, I'm going to watch Schindler's List tomorrow. What happens in that?
It's my favorite comic book adaptation.
We missed out on Fast and the Furious 7 by about a week, I think. Yeah.
What happens when everyone cries at the end? Do you guys get soaked with buckets?
Yeah.
That would be too hard.
Does Wiz Khalifa come out and like throw stuff at you?
Emotional.
Yeah. What about the X-Men girl characters, like in the first two films?
The first X-Men is one of my favorite superhero adaptations.
Yeah, Rogue's great.
The fact they make Rogue a main character is amazing. Like, that was a pretty baller move then, I guess. Also, like, the stakes weren't
but
high.
See but how progressive that is? That movie came out how long
2000.
Ago? Yeah, so yeah. That's like 15 years ago. It's exactly the same as Jurassic World versus Jurassic Park. Like, the female characters were treated so well in Jurassic Park.
Oh,
versus,
Laura Dern, yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. Murderer. Whereas, you know, Bryce Dallas Heels.
Hey, but she's running the company. And I think that's important. You know, Laura heels. Dern wasn't running a company. Now we have ladies running companies in Jurassic World.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, it's like such a problem. Like that movie obviously did well at the box office. They made Rogue, you know, a key character. And now 15 years later, studios still aren't making like, you know, women central characters or caring about.
She found it funny they've made the Rogue cut of
because she wasn't
Future
even
Past.
In the actual movie. Yeah,
but they've actually made the Rogue cut, and it's like 15 minutes of Rogue.
No, subplot. It's actually 15 minutes of extra footage, but only 5 of those minutes involve Rogue.
Isn't that weird that they're still calling it the Rogue cut? Yeah. Like they know that's going to get people watching it. It's so
I think it was like a big trivia thing when it came out. Like, you know. Anna Paquin went and shot scenes and then she wasn't in it.
And she was still big because like True Blood and shit was still cracking then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we forgetting anyone? Anyone important?
Anyone? Not really.
Madonna and Dick Tracy.
So you were going to go out on a limb and say that the most progressive female role in a superhero movie of the last two decades is
not
Sue
Storm. No.
Rogue?
I'm not going to say that, but she's treated better than most, I would say. But yeah, the best one. Yeah, maybe Rogue. I can't think of.
I can imagine that. She gets a bit of an arc as well. You know, better. Like you follow her, she gets a boyfriend. You feel invested in her, like her personal as well as her professional.
Storm's life. Good too.
If Mad Max Fury Road was a comic book film, then.
Well, it is. Yeah. Well, prequels.
Furiosa. Yeah. Furiosa wins.
Oh, fuck yeah. She's like.
Yeah. That's. Yeah. She would be the best.
Heads down.
I would never expect Charlize Theron to play that kind of character like 10 years ago.
But really? If you look
you saw
at
Monster?
Her...
You could have seen Monster. Have you seen Monster?
But she didn't really, like, you know, she didn't drive a truck in Monster.
Yeah, she just drove dudes to death. She did drive a truck. No, she used to fuck dudes that drove them and then killed them. It was crazier.
But if you look at her IMDb page, you'll see that she's... You can tell she's been very, like, methodical in the roles that she chooses. Mm. She's always, like, the main character... She's always, like, I don't know if you've seen Young Adult, which is kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but she'll always
with
play,
Diablo
like,
Cody.
A more... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a more complex...
Oh, totally. Even when she did Arrested Development in, like, 10, 15 years
with
ago.
With her
like,
terrible British accent.
But amazing, so just, like, bad. Playing a mentally handicapped... It was like, this is the girl who just won Oscar... for best, like that year she just won best actress, like Oscar. And like, so for her to do that, it was like, yeah, you can tell she's like, she knows what's up.
Yeah, totally.
She's hilarious.
A future guest on the podcast, Kate Jinks, actually told me that she thought Terminator Genesis was better than Mad Max Fury Road.
What?
She told me that as well. She messaged
me
that.
Whoa. And I know, I mean, like Kate, I mean, Eb doesn't know Kate, but I'm sure she
Kate, Kate Jinks is, she books the Golden Age Cinema.
Yeah, she used to host the only radio program devoted to cinema in Sydney, Greater Sydney, for a couple of years. Claim to fame.
I just don't get how that version of Sarah Connor is... Oh, that made me so angry. That was so miscast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like part of me, like I would never go to see that movie because I know how bad it's going to be.
Have you seen it?
No, hell no. Because of what I just said.
It is just so...
I want to see it.
It kills all your like, all your...
nerd boners?
Yeah. All my nerd boners were dead. No, it kills all of your... connections with all of those characters, like it's not really like the Terminator or whatever, but especially Sarah Connor and especially Kyle Reese. Like Jai Courtney kills Kyle
and
Reese.
You know what, I was a Jai Courtney fan prior to
I don't know why.
This film but he was so bad in it.
Really?
I had to
Yeah,
it was the worst.
I think you mean our Jai Courtney.
Our Jai.
I think if
you're giving him back, you're like, no, you can have
him. Yeah, you can have him. America.
I think if the, what's the guy's name? Michael, the one who's in Creed.
Oh, yeah, Michael Stapp.
B. Jordan.
What?
Scott Stapp.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan.
The lead singer Michael is Scott Stapp of Creed.
Is his name really Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say Michael Jordan, but like then I thought it was going to be like ridiculous.
I want to be like Mike. It's just an extension. It's just.
I think if he's like the next up and comer, Jai Courtney is the next. You know, down and out of like he's just terrible.
You heard it here first. Folks.
You heard it here
because he'll be coming back to our screen soon, like a boomerang, as
Captain Boomerang.
Captain Boomerang
in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, he's Captain Boomerang in Suicide Squad.
How did you not know that?
I haven't really been looking at this Suicide Squad.
Did you get the Jack Horney weekly email?
No, but I should. No, maybe I shouldn't.
I'm still on the mailing list. She sends good recipes. Just like.
Mrs. Courtney.
The sales are at. It's
makes
good.
Really great boomerang puns.
Great boomerang puns. Tells me where, like, you know, which Maya has some good cheap tea towels. I don't know. Shout out to Jai Courtney's
Elizabeth
mom.
Arden
still,
specials.
Believing in a son.
And of course, Jai Courtney's mom is Courtney Cox.
Oh, yeah, right. That's what I thought. I thought it was Courtney Love and Courtney Cox's daughter.
I never realized that that Julie Roberts' brother is Ian Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts. Eric Roberts. Roberts. Did
whatever.
I, it's Eric
Ian Roberts is the guy from Manly. But
what
anyway.
Was he in?
He's in The Dark Knight. He plays Sal Maroni. He's taken over
we
the Falcone
him.
Crime
he's
mob.
He's in Suits.
Oh, he's in Suits.
Yeah.
Our favorite
he's
show.
He's also in The Specialist with Sly Stallone and Sharon
yes.
Stone.
He's also classic in that
he's in Entourage.
Rihanna
he plays himself
video.
And he goes out to the desert and does like peyote with the boys.
And he gets eaten in an episode of South Park.
Yeah.
He's one of Hollywood's unsung heroes.
Eric Roberts is great. His daughter's Emma Roberts and she was in Palo Alto, the
there's that as
James
well.
Franco adaptation by a Coppola. Which isn't Gia. Sophia. Gia Coppola. Sophia's younger cousin. Which was great. I dug that movie too.
I didn't mind it. I thought Val
Kilmer's son stole the show.
I thought it tried very hard to be like kids. But, you know, this generation's kids. But,
yeah, right. I thought Val Kilmer's son was baller. Like, it was so weird. There's so many multi-generational.
Was he the one that was like unhinged?
No, he was the friend of the one that was unhinged.
Right.
The one who went to get a job in like a library in an old people's home. And the unhinged guy kept trying to... The unhinged guy was in the short... list. I forget his name right now, but he was in one of the like top three who's going to be the new Spider-Man, but he didn't get it.
Lots of cool film news this week on Hey Fam from some real film experts. Not like those fucking dickheads over at our rival podcast.
That's right,
the Blank Slate Movie Podcast.
If we listened to you guys, and we heard some shots fired this week.
In fact, let's play those shots right now.
Now, we've got Cameron James.
Returning champion, Cameron James. I'm ready to get back in the ring. I'm ready to change some lives. I'm ready to knock out the opponent, a.k.a. Hey Fam and other podcasts that are on the iTunes network.
Fuck Hey Fam. Fuck Jesse Has Cancer. Fuck Story Club.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Confession Booth.
Fuck Confession Booth.
Fuck the Koshoshkus Bakosh cast.
I'm guesting on that soon, so...
Okay.
I can't wait to get in there and bring them down from the inside out.
You know what I've noticed about Hey Fam? Their logo and their name is very similar to Hey Dad. I feel like there's some egg on their face with that one, because that guy is actually a renowned pedophile.
Don't say that. Ah, fuck.
Fuck you guys. I heard that the Blank Slate Movie Podcast guys don't even watch movies.
And you know what I heard?
What did you hear, Angus?
I heard they're not even allowed to go to the movies or allowed to get their parents' video cards to rent these movies, that they just get the child novelization.
The junior novelization.
They sometimes even get the colouring in book, and they have to just try and connect the dots figuratively and literally to decide what the hell's going on in that movie.
Plus, I heard that they're not even three separate people. It's just Henry Stone. That's right, you heard it here first. Cameron James and Alexei Toliopoulos
are just figments of
Henry Stone's imagination. And just to prove what a piece of shit podcast the Blank Slate Movie Podcast is, Rajaneb, do you listen to Hey Fam?
Yes.
Correct.
Have you even heard of the Blank Slate Movie Podcast?
Hell no.
Fuck you guys. Shots fired. If I ever see you again, Henry, and your made up characters, I'm gonna give your parents money to buy a new child.
Let's sort this out. Let's go to IMAX screening of Minions, 4 PM this Saturday. May 11th, you the Blank Slate boys.
Rajaneb, did you see Minions in Gold Class?
No. I do they like didn't play in Gold Class.
Kids films don't play in Gold Class.
Apparently.
What about when you guys have a child? Where will you take it to see movies?
We make our own Gold Class.
We're going to turn our entire house into a theatre.
I used to go to parties in the Shire, and one of my friend's dads was a really well-to-do lawyer. And you would always try and stay at that guy's house after the party, because they had like a cinema down the bottom of their house. But so they had this really amazing deluxe cinema, had like maybe seats for about 20, 25 people. But they only had pirated DVDs. So it was just like
VCDs.
Like did like the most incredible big screen, and then like, no, check out the library. And it was all cam rips of movies that they bought in like Bali.
Disappointing.
If I wanted to be tortured, like if I had information that another country or state would need, that's how they could torture me to give it out. That lead me to this setup. It was an amazing home entertainment situation, and then play a 2-disc VCD rip of Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest,
like, and waving a Blu-ray in
front
of you.
And you have to switch the disc over halfway through. I'm like, what? What do you mean? It's only 750 meg each side. You putz.
Hey Raj and Eb, where can we find you guys online if we want to see your cool opinions on the internet?
Nowhere really.
Jesus.
Raj is everywhere.
Raj is everywhere. Raj's homepage, browncardigan.com.
Raj's life, Raj's love.
Opinion. Are you asking? Oh.
Where can we find you online, Raj?
Well, there's Instagram. There's no Facebook.
Don't worry, just tell us what your Instagram is.
/ Raja with an underscore at the end.
Beautiful.
Jesus. Hard, like, much?
Yeah, sorry.
Who had Raja?
I need the binary system in there as well. But maybe.
You can find me on LinkedIn. Jokes.
She also has an Instagram. It's really great.
I have an Instagram. Eb_Yusuf.
There you go. Follow away.
Some top-notch accounts for you to follow. Angus can be found at Twitter and Instagram / Chimichangas.
That's right. And another hit podcast called The Greenlight Boys. We broke our silence this week. We got back together and discussed Hulk Hogan's recent racial downfall. And that's necessary listening. That's my endorsement this week. We do endorsements, right?
Of course.
And we endorse our own things.
Yourself only. You guys want to endorse anything before I do my plug?
No.
Hoytzlocks. Go there.
Wow, we better get free tickets, man.
Subscribe to HBO Go. Yeah. You can find me Twitter and Instagram.com/levdog, LEVDAWG. And
DAWG, that's right. Don't type in DOG. I did that for a long time, and trust me, it's not the same, Levdog. I was getting a lot of DMs, which I was not used to. I wasn't ready to receive those.
You should definitely check out a new podcast that I just launched this week with a friend of mine, Mitch Orr. It's all about food and food in Sydney. It's a 6-person food panel podcast. The first of its kind, I think.
I think it is. I think it's safe to say. When is that going to hit the streets?
I should be up there now. If you go to...
Really?
Go look on iTunes for Mitchen, MITCHEN.
not like literally right now for you, Angus, but by the time this one goes up, ours will be up there too.
He's just texting
I'm so obedient.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just texting Nina. I'm like, shh, the movie's on, be quiet.
And of course, you can find Hey Fam at facebook.com/ Hey Fam Podcast. And, you know, if you have some TV that you think we should be watching,
we need a TD size. We need an hour at least a week.
We need
occupied.
1 hour of overacting, underwriting, and
moody,
terrible
faces.
Treatment of women every week. please go find Hey Fam on iTunes and review your favorite Entourage episode. That's what we ask you to do every week.
Hey, so Levins, I just want to say now quickly. Before we watch this, I thought we were going to speak about heaps about comic book movies, so I just wrote my top five. Can I say them now?
Of course. Hey, context? Let's go out with the top five.
Batman 89, Dick Tracy, Dark Knight Trilogy, Scott Pilgrim, Tintin. Boom. Over.
Whoa. Whoa. Angus just dropped the mic and set his couch on fire.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
AdWanted UK is the provider of single-source media data for agencies, media owners, brands, and academic institutions. And thanks to our rebranded news offering called The Media Leader, we can also lead the way in championing excellence and inclusion in the media industry. To find out more, simply visit the-media-leader.com to subscribe to our daily bulletins. The Media Leader from AdWanted UK.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.